April 12, 1989, Chapel Service, Student Preaching Week. The minister for the day is Letitia J. Brockman.
Thank you. Let us stand for the call to worship. The Lord is our rock and our fortress and our deliverer, our God, our rock in whom we take refuge, our shield and the horn of our salvation, our stronghold. Let us call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Letitia Brockman is a senior MDiv student from Floyd's Knob, Indiana. She is a graduate of Purdue University. Letitia will complete her MDiv coursework by doing a unit of CPE this summer at Duke Medical Center and a campus ministry internship beginning in September at Yale University, where she will take her final course at the Yale Divinity School. Letitia is a minister to college students at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church. She is also my racquetball partner and someone that I call friend. We will look forward to hearing Letitia. Let us turn now our concerns to those among us who are in need of our prayers. We want to remember Alan Taylor and his father, John Taylor Sr., who is having at this moment heart bypass surgery at the Mission Memorial Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. Many of you have already heard that Bill Height had a pretty scary day yesterday. First of all, his aunt, Mary Walker, passed away yesterday morning, and then he got word that his wife, Ruby, and his daughter were in a hit-and-run automobile accident. So he rushed home to Charlotte. They are okay. They're both at home. His daughter is fine. His wife has a strained back and neck and lots of bruises, but they are okay. We are celebrating with recent graduate Joe Pryor and his wife Vicki in the birth of their son, Jordan Dale, who was born on April the 9th. Joe is now the pastor of a church in LaGrange, North Carolina. Let us go to God in prayer. O God of love and hope, we rely so heavily on your promise that you will always be with us and that absolutely nothing can separate us from that love. All of us have times in our lives when it is that promise alone that gives us hope, times when loved ones are sick and when we have to let go and say goodbye to those and that which we love. We thank you for the hope that the birth of a child reminds us of. And as we celebrate with new parents around us, help us to discover the deeper parts of ourselves that need birthing and call us forth as you call Lazarus from death to life. Hear our prayers as we offer our worship in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who is coming into the world." May God add blessing to the reading and the hearing of Holy Scripture.
Please join me in the Litany of Confession. God, sometimes we struggle to really feel your presence with us. God, we confess that sometimes we have our own ideas about the ways we want you to be with us. Sometimes we want to say with Martha, Lord, if only you had been here. Lord, free us from our self-imposed isolation and despair. Show us how to be liberated to live, knowing that you are with us. Amen. Have you ever felt abandoned by God? Like God was no longer with you? Have you experienced a time when you wanted to cry out, God, where are you? I remember one time when I was feeling utterly deserted by God. It was my first semester at seminary, and at the time, it seemed like my whole world was falling apart. I felt betrayed by people. I didn't trust them. I wondered if even God had left me to fend for myself. I frequently walked long miles around the campus late at night as I tried to understand what was happening and where God was in my pain. Growing up, I had often heard that God is always with us, but it certainly didn't feel that way. I remember one night, I stopped beneath a tree and collapsed heavy-heartedly against its trunk. I looked up at the branches, and I thought, I wish these branches were God's arms, and God would wrap them around me and hold me. I longed to find some physical evidence of God's presence with me. Of course, that didn't happen, and I was left struggling to believe that God was really with me. I wasn't experiencing God's presence in the way I wanted or expected to. Martha experienced that feeling too. It happened to her. She struggled with the feelings of anger, frustration, and confusion as she wondered why Jesus hadn't been there. Didn't he care? She voiced the feelings that are often reproduced in us. Sometimes, when life seems cruel and unfair, when the pain seems to be too much to bear, we want to say with Martha, Lord, if only you had been here. We know that if God had really been with us, things would be different now. Our Lazarus wouldn't have died. We don't always experience God to be with us in the way we want or expect. We have our own ideas about exactly how God should be with us. Maybe God is with us, but just not where we look for God. I'm reminded of an imagery in the Swedish film My Life as a Dog. There's a character who is always up working on his roof. The townspeople often plead with him to come down, but he doesn't. One cold day, he finally does come down, though. But he comes down, and he goes skinny dipping in the icy river. He came down, and his behavior wasn't what the people expected. They didn't know what to do with him. We are like that with God sometimes. We beg and plead for God to come down and be in our midst, but we often don't understand God's activity in our world, and we don't know what to do with it. God surprises us with unexpected and unlooked-for presence. We have these expectations of exactly how God should be at work in our lives. And when God isn't working the way we think God should work, we assume God's just still up on the roof. There are times when God isn't present to us the way we want to feel God's presence. Often, we will take these times and turn them into periods of feeling like we have been abandoned by God. But just because we don't experience God the way we would like to, does that really mean that God has abandoned us? I don't think so. Let's look back at Martha. When Martha asked this question, she discovered that God was indeed with her. And God's demonstration of presence brought a greater, more powerful revelation of Christ. She rushed up to Jesus with a remark that contained all the grief, all the disappointment, and all the anger of the last few days. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother need not have died." For Martha, this remark became a springboard, the introduction to a passionate conversation about faith. "I like Martha. She's got spunk and tenacity. She's not a woman that keeps silence in the community. She doesn't leave theology to the theologians. No. She engages Jesus in a vigorous debate. She takes the risk of struggling with God as Job did. She's really saying, Jesus, you failed me. But she doesn't give up. She doesn't stop there. She presses him. In her mind, she knows well enough that theologically resurrection takes place at the last day. But yet there's something inside her that hopes that even now Jesus can help her. She wants to experience his presence in a different way. Martha's stubborn, passionate faith holds on to the belief that Jesus is no ordinary person. He responds to that belief with the revelation of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Martha responds with the confession of Christ that stands out as a special climax in the New Testament. "You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And what kind of a God is this? This God that she is now experiencing? It's new. It's different from the God of the Old Testament she was familiar with. This revelation helped her move beyond the Old Testament concept of a God that often seemed remote and distant to her. It moved her to the realization of God who was incarnate, who had come into the world, of God who struggles with the world, with us. The Christian idea of a God is not that of a being outside the universe, above its struggles and advances, merely looking on and taking no part in the process. No, it is that of a God who loves, who yearns, who suffers. It is a marvelous and bewildering thought, and it is the revelation of Christ. This is the truth of this God, which is echoed down through the ages, bringing hope and inspiration to prophets, apostles, and poverty-stricken millions alike. A God that could understand, that could suffer, that could sympathize, that wept, that had felt the harsh extremes of human anguish, the agony of bereavement, that had been subjected to and submitted even to the brutal, hopeless torture of the innocent. So where do we look for God? Maybe we've been asking the wrong question. Maybe the question is not if God is present, but where. This God who understands, who suffers, who loves and weeps, is present to us in many ways, often in ways we do not understand. One of the ways that I have sensed God's involvement in my own life is through the human face of God. Many times, it is through those around us that we find a clear, unmistakable presence of God in the midst of our struggle. God comes to us through the person sitting next to us, through professors, students, in many faces. There are many people in my life and yours that have embodied God's grace and love for you and me. Sometimes, though, it doesn't even seem as if the human face of God is present in our lives. Sometimes we feel so totally alone and deserted, and it seems like no one in the world understands our pain or even wants to. Sometimes even words of Scripture have a hollow ring to them. Words that at other times touched our lives so very deeply seem to be merely empty words. Maybe in times like this, we can remember. We can call upon the memories of the times when we did feel that assurance of God's presence in our life. Times when the experience of God in our lives was so real, you could almost taste it. Is that what Jesus meant at the Last Supper? That night when he shared that last Passover meal with his disciples, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He knew that soon they would no longer have his physical presence with them. They would have to remember the times that they had shared together, that last Passover meal, the things that he had taught them, the joys and the sorrows they had shared together, the way that he had comforted them and so many others. Jesus knew the importance of memory. He left us with many memories. Through Scripture, throughout history, and within our own stories, there are memories that tell us that God is with us, even in our pain. But we still have the pain, don't we? As Jesus hung on the cross, he cried out in anguish as the psalmist had, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Even Jesus knew what it was like to feel forsaken by God. Just a few days before the powerful redemptive act of the resurrection, Christ experienced agonizing pain and loneliness. God didn't take away the anguish or the agony, but the resurrection did come. You see, knowing that God is with us doesn't automatically remove the pain that we feel. It doesn't end the terror of the Palestinian child who walks the streets surrounded by machine guns, longing for a life without war. It doesn't fill the emptiness that haunts us when we lose someone that we love. But God is also in our pain. God shares in that pain with us and struggles alongside us. We don't have to walk alone. The pain is much more bearable when we live knowing that we do not have to bear it alone. When we live knowing that we are walking with God to the resurrection. Even when we are feeling that sense of abandonment, when it seems that all is hopeless, there is something inside us that calls us to keep going. Although Martha struggled with feelings of being failed by Jesus, there was something inside her that kept hoping and kept believing. Her disappointment blended with her faint hope that even now, Jesus could do something. And that something inside her led her to receive the revelation of Christ, the resurrection. She discovered that God the Christ had indeed been with her, empowering her with the resurrection. She experienced Christ, the resurrection. She experienced the resurrection of her brother. And she experienced and embodied the resurrection of that something inside herself. Isn't that the power of the resurrection? That something inside us that calls us forth to keep on going. Resurrection is about reconciling that something inside us, that hope that lives on with the darkness of a weeping, hurting world, a world that often feels forsaken, abandoned, and betrayed. Jesus did not leave us with an empty longing. Jesus, the Christ, left us with the something, the light, the hope, the spirit of seeing in a way that the world does not see, the presence of God that comes to us in a way we can't always feel. We carry that hope and that faith even when we feel forsaken. We carry that hope for others until they can carry it themselves. We will feel our way into the darkness. We will hold on to God's vision of a world made whole. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Reacquaint us, Emmanuel, with thy presence, and enfold us in thy care as we pray and worship thee. O God, in mystery and silence, you are present in our lives, bringing new life out of destruction, hope out of despair, growth out of difficulty. May we find meaning within the mystery of your presence and courage for the living of these days.
We thank you that you do not leave us alone, but labor to make us whole. Remind us that there is nowhere we can go that you will not be there with us, and there is nothing we can do that will cause you to leave us or forsake us.
Help us to perceive your unseen hand in the unfolding of our lives, and to attend to the gentle guidance of your Spirit, that we may know the joy of your people. Amen.
Go forth from this place empowered by the truth of God with us. Go experiencing the resurrection within yourself. Go with the presence of Christ into the world, revealing the sacred in the very midst of life. Amen.